Turn with me to Mark's gospel. We've been talking about, last week we talked about soil. We began to talk about the soils, and the Lord gave me this revelation. You'll be here next Sunday. And so I'm going to slow down, and I have been slowing down. I've really never taught this as broken down as much as I've been teaching on this, but I also know as the Lord's having me do this that he's setting you up. He's getting you ready for some great download of revelation. He's getting you ready for a great download of the Word of God. Because how many of you know the seed never fails? I said the seed never fails. It never returns void. It'll always accomplish what it's sent to do. The Word of God is powerful. And so there's nothing wrong with the seed of the Word of God. And so we began to look at how last week we looked at this. It's in the Old Covenant. It's in three or four places in the New Covenant. It talks about eyes, ears, heart, and conversion. And so did y'all pray for that person last week? Okay, you're going to continue to pray for them. What are we praying? The eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. What else are we doing? We're taking authority over the God of this world who has put blinders on their eyes. Because we saw this, the Bible talks about your eyes, and those are your spiritual eyes. They're your cardia, your heart has eyes. It has ears. Your heart has ears. And so, and it has an understanding. And so what the world, the enemy has done is he's blinded their eyes. He's deafened their ears so their heart will not understand, so they won't receive and be converted. And I used to just look at that until last week. Mostly I focused on the fact that it's talking about the new birth. But really the Lord's just dealing with me is we need a conversion in every area of the Word of God. Because how many of you know the promises are yes and amen? But as the whole body of Christ, what happens? Suddenly, in order to walk in healing, to walk in prosperity, to walk in peace, to walk in joy, to walk in all the promises, you've got to have a revelation. And that revelation comes from an understanding. In other words, your eyes could see finally. Your ears could hear finally. Your heart understood and you were converted. And so that's what we're praying for each one. That's what I pray for you. I prayed it for years, that you'd have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that understands. But really what I didn't get to for all these years, and I was just so kind of taken with it last week, was the conversion. The conversion. And so not only just people being born again, but converted in every area from the Word of God. So I'm out to convert you. I'm out to convert you that healing belongs to you. I'm out to convert you that prosperity belongs to you. I'm out to convert you that the peace of God is yours every day. I'm out to convert you that you can have the best family on planet Earth. I'm here to convert you that your children will grow up and they'll never depart from the way. And it's a curse for the enemy to take them any other way. And your children are going to rise up, and mamas and daddies, not just mamas only, they're going to call you blessed. Amen. There's a conversion. When you have an understanding of the word, a conversion takes place. And so last week we looked at wayside soil. And these are the people that, immediately the enemy comes and steals from them. And I said, don't just think about that. As always, people who are not born again. But sometimes we need to make sure that we don't have wayside soil. And so let's look this week, though. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. And there's a Matthew account and a Luke account. I just like the Mark account because my name is Mark. No, that's not why. But I like the Mark account. And so we're going to look at Mark chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Now, this is when Jesus was speaking to a whole multitude of people. And it says he was describing the four soil types. And he said, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root, and it withered away. And so remember, then the apostles kind of took him off to the side, and they were in a private closed-door meeting, and they were all like, what's up with that? And he said, you all want to know what that means? And they said, yes. And so this is the private interpretation in verse 16. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and they endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And so, as I was looking at this kind of deeper, the Lord spoke to me, And he spoke to me about church because as a minister and a pastor, you know, I have, this is my setting. And so he said to me, you'll not be able to tell who is this kind of soil versus the good soil because they both receive it with gladness and joy. Because this is, I want you to produce. Everybody say, I'm a hundredfold producer. And so I want to get us there. And so I want to look at this, and we're going to slow down and look at this, and not just saying, oh, that's not my soil, that's not my problem. But even if it's not your soil and it's not your problem, there are people around you that it is their soil and it is their problem. And I want to use you, I want God to use you to help people. Do you want to help somebody? And so if we can get some help ourselves, we can also help other people. And so there's this stony ground. And so the Lord said, they receive it. But see, they do what? They receive it. So these are not people who are rejecting the word. And they not only receive it with folded arms, they receive it with gladness and joy. In other words, they're saying amen and pop the clutch. And that's right. And preach it, preacher. They're all those people. They're receiving it with joy and gladness. You can't tell them on the outside as any different than good soil. We are so used to looking on the outward appearance. We are so used to looking at the outside and not understanding that what's going on the inside of a person. You cannot judge how well a person's going to do in the Word of God just by looking at them. Just by seeing if they say amen and shake their head. Or just because they're present. Just because they're here. Now, I want you all to be here, and the Lord, he gave me a revelation. You're going to be back next Sunday, and you're going to bring other people with you. I mean, that's my revelation, and I'm sticking with it. And so I'm going to slow down and teach you this, but I want you to see that this is real important because the Lord emphasized it. They receive it with joy and gladness. And so what happens? It immediately does what? What does the seed immediately do? It springs up. So on the outside, they look like they got it. On the outside, they look like they got it. Because what happens? Even maybe faster than other people. Woo! First the blade. They got it. And then what happens? It immediately springs up. And because there's no root in them, because they have shallow soil. Because what is this? I want you to think of ground. Maybe a big field. And better to think about it is there are big boulders and big rocks in this soil. And so there's not much soil to them. They're not deep with soil, but there's some soil in it. And when they heard the word, how many know the word never fails? And so they had faith, and they received it with joy and gladness, and immediately it sprung up. But Jesus said, when he was talking to everybody, he said, but what happens is the sun comes out. And instead of nourishing it, the sun scorches it. Because one place says there's no moisture in the soil, and the sun, and there's it's a very shallow, there's a shallow amount of soil because of all these stones or rock. Now, what are the stones? What are the rocks? They could be so many things. They could be traditions of men, which make the word of God of no effect. They could be offense. They could be personal things that you believe about the word that aren't true. They could be you not believing God is faithful. You believing God is not fair. God is not just. You believing that everything just happens the way it's supposed to happen. And, you know, you have no control. Whatever. But there's a lot of boulders. There's a lot of stones in there. And so when the sun comes out, and because there's no moisture, that what happens is then just as quick as it showed up, as quick as it's gone. They received it with joy, because this is what people don't understand. Just because somebody receives it with joy and gladness and immediately something springs up doesn't mean they're going to be okay. Because we often wonder and look around people, friends you know, maybe family members, that you're like, man, they came to church and they really enjoyed it and they came to the Lord and they may even got filled with the Holy Ghost or something like that. And then 3 months, where are they? Where'd they go? What happened to them? Because the word never fails. What happened to them? Well, I'm telling you what happened to them. They had stony ground. Now, the great thing about it is that you can exchange your soil. You and I can grow in soil. Our soil can change. You can go immediately from wayside soil and get born again and have good soil, but also you could progress in your soils and change it. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're just going to look at the soil. But I was thinking about this, and because, you know, Mark chapter 4 there goes on to say, you know, after the seed is sown, first the blade, then the ear, then the stalk, then the ear, then harvest has come. But I was just looking at this, and I know this. I grew up on a farm. Did anybody do biology class? You remember seventh grade biology class? What is the first thing really that happens when a seed is planted? Not that the word is wrong, but he's already discussed it somewhere else and just expects us to get this. What's the first thing that really happens? Roots. Not something up top. But really what happens here is because there is no chance for a root system, it springs up first up top because it can't go down. So really one of the most important things is that you and I have roots. Now, y'all know what roots are for. What do roots do? They bring nutrients. They bring water to supply what's on top. If you don't have a root system, there's nothing that can be on top. Now, come on, this is Alabama. Any y'all take care of your yard? I hate it. Anyway, but you take care of your yard. How many of you know if you cut a weed off at the top, if it has a root system, it's coming right back? What do you got to do to get rid of a weed? You got to pull it out. You got to get all the roots. But you see, if you're wanting something good and you plant it in shallow soil, when it springs up, there's no root system. So it has no way because there's not enough soil. So there's no way to give it nutrition. There's no way to water it. And so when the sun comes out, when the devil comes, there's no root. There's no root system. So I want you to think of your heart, because what does the Bible say in Proverbs 4? Out of your heart come the issues of your life. So what I see on the outside is not so important. What's going on the inside of you and what's going on the inside of me is most important. If I take care of what's on the inside, then eventually it'll show up on the outside. Come on, if I want to plant an orange tree and get an orange one day, I want to make sure that the root system of that orange tree has a place to grow and is taken care of. I'm never going to produce an orange unless I take care of the roots. And then, you know, what else does a root system do? Well, when you think about a tree, a root system holds it in place. Anybody got any Bradford pears? Do you? How many know when the wind blows in Alabama, they're the first thing to go? Why? Because they don't have a very good root system. How about an oak? They got a way better chance. And they really need their roots. Pastor Ron and I, the house we live in, we bought this house and this lot because there was one of the biggest, most beautiful oak trees in all of Madison, Alabama, and it was going to be in our front yard. It was huge. It was beautiful. But we didn't realize that they were going to run sewer lines to our house. And then they ran the sewer lines and the water lines one way and found out they made a mistake. So they had to then go on the other side and run. And then we didn't know what was going on. And man, we were using our faith. We were laying hands on that oak tree. We were tree huggers, man. We were hugging that tree and praying, talking to it. And it died and we had to get it cut down. But when we got it cut down, what we found was somebody, and we didn't know it. We were concentrating on the top. But what happened is somebody destroyed the roots. And even though it was big and mighty, it had to come down because its roots were destroyed. Those roots hold it in place. Do you got roots on the inside of you? Have you let the word take root? Or in the South, root, whatever you like. Have you let it take root in your life? I hear rut, but I know it's root. Got any roots? Hallelujah. But can you see that that's got to happen? So the first thing this seed really wants to do to be healthy is produce roots. But if there's no soil, then it'll go up immediately, but it won't stay. How many I want longevity. I want to produce 30, 60, 100-fold all the time. Amen. I'm not just interested in being a flash in the pan. I'm not interested in being the first to have something spring up. Because see, when I look at this now, I see and understand. Yeah, I want you all to be excited. So I want you all to say amen. I want you to all say pop the clutch and preach it, Pastor. I enjoy all that. But what I want more for you is to make sure that your soil is right. And that my soil is right. And how many of you know, I talked about this last week. Just because I had a bumper crop of cotton last year, or a bumper crop of corn last year, if I don't properly prepare the soil this year, and I just threw the seed on top of the hard ground, then no matter what I produced last year, I'm not going to be able to produce it this year. Can you see the cardia, the center of you that holds your spirit, that holds your soul, that where everything is happening, out of it flow the issues of your life. And so it's important to understand. So as I look at this in Matthew's account, in Mark's account, and Luke's account, Jesus in closed door session is talking to the apostles and talking to us, and he further explains what happens. He says, now, after the seed is sown and it grows up immediately, to the multitude, he said, the sun comes out and scorches it because there's not enough soil and there's not enough moisture. But to us, he said, let me tell you about four things, because you have these in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and some of them give different accounts of what he said, and there's four different words that come out. And so I found these important as I was studying. The Lord says there's four things that come that the enemy uses to come immediately steal the word. And these are affliction, persecution, tribulation, and temptation. And you're like, Pastor, I don't really want to talk about any of those. Because does anybody like persecution? Anybody like affliction? Oh, Lord, send some affliction just now. No, we don't do that. How do you know? Because it's not him that sends it. There's a misconception in the church of who sends what. Now, you've got to understand, how many of you know the devil comes to everybody? How many of you know he's an enemy? Do you have an enemy? You have an enemy. He's real. I know Hollywood likes to make it up into something hokey pokey, but weird, you know, and all scary. But he just as much as God is real, there is an enemy who Jesus has defeated. And you got to understand that the devil comes to do what? John 10:10. What does the enemy come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. Who's he trying to do that from? Everybody. Saved, unsaved. He hates everybody. He hated you when you were unsaved, and he messed with you when you were unsaved, and he doesn't like you now. And so I hear some people say, well, you know, the more I serve God, the more the devil hates me. No, he's always hated you. He's always planned to send you to hell. He's always planned to make you sick. He's always planned to mess your family up. He's always done that. But he's a defeated foe. And when you get born again and you find out your authority, then everything changes. Or it should start changing because you now know your authority. But the Lord was just dealing with me. The Holy Ghost was, as he was showing me these things, I'm trying to get them to you, is there these four weapons that the devil uses, and they're not against the stony soil person only. Sometimes we get in our mind that when we read these soils, that this only happens to this kind of person. But I want to show you, because these four words jumped out to me as I looked at them in all three different accounts. The first one is affliction. The definition of affliction is something that causes pain or suffering, a state of pain, distress, grief, or misery. Sometimes it's associated with a sickness. But just, I want to show you through these three scriptures or four scriptures just real quick about this word affliction, that it comes to everybody. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 6 says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost. So this was the church of Thessalonica. And so he's talking about these people, they've got the word, they're doing the word, and they received the word in much affliction. Hebrews 11, 25, talking about Moses. He said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So one of the things affliction does, it comes to try to get you into sin. Because now, you know, I know you don't like to talk about this, but sin is fun for just a season. And then it requires a great recompense. And that recompense is death. in every sin, anytime there's sin, it may be enjoyable, pleasurable for a moment, but the Bible says that the wages of sin is what? So here affliction came to Moses and the children of God, and he had to decide to do what with affliction? Well, I'm not called to suffer. Oh, I don't have time to get into that. But are Christians called to suffer? Well, not sickness and disease, not poverty and lack, not anything you've been redeemed from, but you will suffer as you obey. You will suffer as you don't do it your way. You will suffer as you, what does that mean? I'm rather feel afflicted. I'd rather not have that pleasure of sin for a season and rather do it God's way, which is a fruit of righteousness that is better to do it that way. You'll find out doing it God's way is far more enjoyable, far more fun than pleasure of sin for a season. But we're not called to be afflicted with sickness and disease. We're not called to be afflicted with poverty. But afflictions come to, my point is, the devil comes to try to move everybody, not just the person with the stony soil. But the deal is this, the person with the stony soil, when affliction comes, they can't handle it. And they get offended and they go away. But you and I have different kind of soil, don't we? Are we working that direction? Amen. James 5:10. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and impatience. Verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job, the end of the Lord, that the Lord is pitiful and tender mercy. How many know that Job had a lot of affliction? Have you ever heard anyone say, I'm like poor old Job? The next time somebody says that to you, grab their hands and start jumping up and down. Go, glory to God. You're about to get double everything you lost. Because of all that, James sums it up in one verse. This is what you were supposed to get out of Job. Even though the affliction, and people talk about the affliction, they think it lasts for years upon years. Really, scholars, if you really study it, probably lasted 9 months. The afflictions lasted 9 months. And Job got double. Job got double. You want to be like Job? Well, I don't want any afflictions. Well, they're coming anyway. Just decide you're going to get double. Are you going to get double? Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let's look at 1 Peter 5:9. Whom resists, talking about the enemy, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions. Everybody say same afflictions. Are accomplished in your brethren there in the world. So the deal is this. Every born-again believer, everybody who loves God, they're going to suffer afflictions. Pastor, this is not enjoyable. Yeah, but if you listen, we'll get you to the enjoyable. Understand afflictions are coming. You know, it's so funny, as Word of Faith people or people who love the Word, sometimes they think if I just do everything right, no afflictions will ever come my way in Jesus' name. And just because you tack on the name of Jesus at the end of it, guess what? You live in the earth and there is a devil. And you have a human experience. And it's not if afflictions come, it's what your soil is like when they come. Because the people with stony ground, when afflictions came, for the word's sake, what happened? They had no soil in them, they had no root in them, and they were offended and walked away. But we've got good ground. You got good ground? And so you got a good root system. I said you got a good root system. And so when afflictions come, you've got something on the inside to take care of what's happening on the outside. Even if the devil were to manage to lop you off at the top, you've got such a root system, it'll be back growing up tomorrow. So it's not so much important, we as human beings, that's what the Lord said. You know, you always look on the outside. I look at the heart. The Bible says we work out our salvation. Why? Because it's your heart, and it comes out of it. Out of you flow the issues of your life. But the afflictions can come. What else could come? Persecution. What's persecution? Hostility and ill treatment, especially because of race or political or religious beliefs. Being harassed, being annoyed. Have you ever been harassed or annoyed because of what you believe? What does that look like today? Well, you know, in the early church, persecution could have meant death. People's like, I don't want no persecution. But, you know, everybody suffers some kind of persecution. I want to show you this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 13. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. This is Paul, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivers. Everybody say, the Lord delivers us out of them all. Out of what? Out of afflictions and out of persecutions. He didn't say you could do everything just right and they'll never come. He said, but when they come, the Lord will deliver you out of them all. But I like verse 12. Listen up. Yay. How many? I want to do this first. How many of y'all are living godly? Do I got any godly people in the room? Do I got any godly teenagers in the room? Do I got any godly young adults in the room? Do I got any adults that are godly in the room? We godly? Yeah, right? Guess what? Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I mean, if you're flowing with the world right now, then you're opposed to God. If you're going with the modern trend of what socially is acceptable today, then you're not flowing with God. You're going in a different direction. And so you're going to get maybe made fun of. Or you really believe that? You really believe a real snake talked to a woman in a garden? Y'all know that, you know, this planet has been here for billions. I mean, if you believe what the Bible says, you're crazy. What is that? That's persecution. And guess what? Some people, when persecution comes, because they have no soil in them, they have no roots in them, they do what? They get offended at the word and go with the way of the world because it's easier. If you're believing God, you're going to have to stand up. I'm not telling you to grab a bullhorn and start preaching. I'm telling you to be godly. And when you're godly, people might not understand you. But the more godly you are and the more you hold and the Lord will deliver you out of them, then the more opportunity you'll have to speak into people's life. Come on, be who God has ordained you to be. But you see, this person with the stony soil, because of all the boulders, all the rocks in their soil, because of traditions of men, because of offense, because just their, not counting God faithful. All those things are boulders, and so they don't have any soil. But you and I who have soil, when persecution comes, you can even stand up, and that shows a person with stony soil how to be. I mean, somebody's got to stand up and say, yeah, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father but through him. I would be remiss to not tell you that. If I let you keep believing error, then you're going to go to hell and I'm going to be responsible. Your blood's going to be on my hands. But if I'm going to tell you the truth in love, and if you choose not to believe it, I'm going to love you anyway. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Yeah, you Christians, you're so narrow. I am so narrow, I believe there's only one way to heaven. I'm as narrow as you get. Amen? Oh, I thought we were Christians should be all-inclusive. All-inclusive in loving everybody, not all-inclusive in changing our doctrine. It doesn't help them for you to be wishy-washy. It doesn't help you to nod your head and agree with them and keep sending them to hell. Amen. Be a man, be a woman, stand up, and let's say what we believe, not in an offensive way, not looking for a fight, but looking to help somebody. Come on, if you people don't understand tongues, but everybody understands love. People may not all understand divine healing, but everybody understands love. Amen. Amen. I'm not telling you to, if you had a dog, if every time he came to eat, you beat him, I mean, how many of you know eventually he's not coming back? So I'm not telling you to beat people as you give them the word. I'm telling you to love them. Come on, pet them on the head. Hallelujah. No, I don't believe people are dogs. Don't take that wrong. I'm just saying, there's a reason why a lot of people don't come around church, because they feel beat. I want to help you to help them. And along with that, I want to warn you of what the devil's devices are. The Bible says don't be ignorant of them. So if I know he's coming with afflictions, and I know he's coming with persecutions, then I also know that he's coming with some tribulation. What's a tribulation? It's distress or suffering resulting from oppression or persecution. A trying experience. Grievous trouble, adversity. Jesus said this in John 16:33. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Turn to your neighbor and say, cheer up. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Aren't you glad you know he's overcome the world? So tribulation comes to every type of soil. But if you have the right type of soil, you can withstand it when tribulation comes. Romans 5:3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Oh, how could you ever get to be glorying in tribulations? Knowing that tribulations work patience, and it has patience works experience and all this. And then it says something, it works hope, an expectation so that you can receive. Understanding that when the devil comes, when the devil comes with his tribulation, if you have the right soil type, if you know when this tribulation comes, that God will turn it around for your good and even use that tribulation to produce hope in you so that you can have the experience of the promise of God. Amen. Now remember, God is not the one bringing or even allowing affliction. God is not bringing or allowing necessarily persecution. What does the devil come for? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's bringing affliction. He's bringing persecution. He's bringing tribulation. You all know this one in Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or naked or peril or sword? In other words, when you've got the kind of soil that's good soil, you say, I don't care what kind of tribulation you bring. I don't care what kind of distress you bring. I don't care what kind of persecution you bring. I don't care what you do to me. I am not going to be leaving the love that I found in Jesus Christ. But what happens with a person with stony soil? When tribulation or persecution comes, they have no root in them. They have no root ball in them. Let's even go back a little bit about that root system. How many of you know when you transplant a plant? That, you know, if you continuously transplant it, some things can go wrong. But if you have a large plant, I know, you know, I've seen them plant large, nice trees that are just already huge. When they come, and even when we got the crepe myrtles around here, even when they come, the root ball is protected in burlap. Because how many of you know if the root system gets messed up, that beautiful blooming crepe myrtle that is just ready to keep going will die? Amen? Amen? So that's what we're protecting the root system. Temptation. What is it? A desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. It's a trial being put to the test. I want you to look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, there is no temptation taken you, but it is common to man. But God is faithful. Everybody say, God is faithful. Is he faithful? We were rejoicing about the faithfulness of God, right? Understanding the enemy is going to bring temptation. How do I know that? We'll just jump ahead. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15 said, God is not tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man with evil. So when you're feeling tempted to sin, when you're feeling tempted to walk away from God, what do you know? That's not coming from God, because God said, I'm not tempted with evil, and I'm never going to tempt you with evil. I'm never going to tempt you with evil. So that's not God's, that's not, people say, well, does God test you? Sure he does, but it's an open book test. He's going to test you. Will you obey? Will you do what I tell you to do? Will you be a doer of the word? Those are the tests of God. But the tribulations, the trials, the persecutions, the temptations, those all come from the enemy. And so here, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, there's no temptation taken to you such as common to man. But God is faithful. Come on, say it again. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you'll be able to bear up under it. I don't have time to get into that. The Amplified really brings some things out. But what I want you to see is temptation comes to everybody. It comes to everybody with no matter what the soil type is. What I've tried to show you today is this, The seed never fails. Y'all agree with that? I mean, it's powerful. It never returns void. But sometimes we look at things, like if you looked at this stony ground, you were just thinking, well, these kind of people get persecution and tribulation and testings and trials come to them because of who they are. No, the devil does that to everybody. What I'm trying to get you to hone in on, if you have people in your life, or maybe you yourself sometimes are not producing 30, 60, 100 fold, we're looking for outward things. How many know I believe in prayer? How many know I believe in laying on of hands? Oh man, I love laying hands on people. But laying hands on someone will not fix their soil. It's not gonna fix their soil. Who can fix your soil? Well, God, but you. You're going to have to make sure, and then you're going to have to make sure your soil, because the seed never fails. So it's not on God's end. The enemy just flat comes to anybody. But he's only successful, like in this case, to a stony heart that there's not much soil in. And when the devil comes, the sun, to scorch it, there's no moisture. There's no root ball. There's no root system. And so when persecution comes, when affliction comes, when temptation comes, when all those things come, when tribulation comes, if you've got a good root system on the inside of you, then you can fight that stuff off. But if you don't have a good root system on the inside of you, then you'll easily get offended and then you'll be gone. So I gave you this last week. Okay, I want you this week, your assignment again is I want you to continue to pray for that person with the wayside soul. What are you praying? The eyes of their understanding are being enlightened. What are you praying? You're taking authority over the enemy that's blinded their mind so they can see. But now I want you to see, maybe you, maybe someone around you, I want you to take this really serious. Because if it's not on God's end, because the word always works, and those people receive it with joy and gladness, and I can't tell them apart from someone who's good soil. Because it looks like it's working in their life, but then I look up and 3 months they're gone. What do we got to do? Well, how do I help this kind of... I heard a preacher say this one time, and I don't mean to pick on him, so I won't give you his name. But he said, you know, the Bible says there's four kinds of soils, and only one kind is good. He said, so I'm not interested in preaching to anybody except for good soiled people. And the pastor in me wanted to stand up and say, what? So 3/4 of the people you don't care about? You don't care? Well, I care. You care? I mean, at one time I was wayside soil away from God. I'm glad somebody cared. At one time I probably, you know, trying to stay away from it, but I probably was in some areas this stony soil. And what happened was, I had this lady, her name was Margaret. She was my Priscilla and Aquila wrapped up into one. She took me aside and taught me the way of the Lord more properly. She taught me when it was appropriate to yield to the Holy Ghost in a service and when it was not. She taught me, like we would be out to dinner. She took me out, her and her husband took me out to dinner, and she would always bring it. It wasn't frivolous. She'd always work it somehow. I never figured out what she did. She'd work it some way around to the Word of God, something that was going on that she explained to me more thoroughly, more correctly. You don't know her. She's come to visit here once or twice, maybe. You don't know her. She's not a famous TV preacher. She really didn't do it for any reason but to help me. She didn't get anything out of it. Probably about obeying God. You know, find someone that will willfully let you mentor them or be mentored. You should always have someone speaking into your life, and you should always speak into somebody's life. Now, you can't go around and say, well, the Lord told me to be your mentor. And that person be like, I don't think so. I mean, no, it's kind of the other way around. Or let it happen organically. Let it happen naturally or by the Spirit of God. But that's how you help a stony grounded person, because this is what they've got to do. This is what you got to help them do. And this is what you and I need to do if we ever get to that place where we have so many ground. They have to make Jesus Lord. Because what's happening is they receive it gladly, and yet there's no root in them. They need Jesus to be the Lord of their life. So, well, they're born again. There's a difference about being born again and Jesus being Lord. And I know Kenneth Copeland did not make that term up. But I like it every time he says it, because it reminds me that Jesus is my Lord. And there's a different connotation to that than just being born again and going to heaven. He's my master. He's my guide. He's the one I want to be the center of my life. And so when you have a mentor, they can help you make sure that Jesus is the Lord of your life. These people, because I'm reminded of Jesus, you know, remember the account of the two storms, the storm with the two houses? Remember one of them fell apart and the other one lasted? Well, one built their house on the sand because they were hearers only. The other built their house on a foundation because they were doers of the word. It's the same thing. Is those that hear the word only, they spring up, but then they're gone. But those that are doers of the word, they create a root ball on the inside of them. And so we as mentors, you as mentors, or you who are being mentored, you've got to become doers of the word and not hearers only. And that'll produce that on the inside of you. That, like I said, even if something happens on the top of you, that you've got such a root ball that thing will be sprung back up just no time at all. It's about the roots. It's about the roots. And then, a mentor can help somebody. Because they can tell what's in their heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, a mentor could help someone with their gates, their eye gate, their ear gate, their mouth gate. They can help them with what they're watching, help them with what they're saying, help them with what they're hearing, help them with what's coming out of their mouth. You know, everybody doesn't start at this mature state. And if you really look at these soils, it shows you how a person could develop and should develop. And I just think it's so important, because what you really need to know, I really want you to get this, what's going on the inside of us, the soil of us, is so much more important than people have given it time. Because it's not a glamorous thing to preach necessarily. It's not like, woo, but listen, if your soil is working and there's roots on the inside of there and you're springing up and producing some 30, 60, 100 fold, you'll be happy all day long, every day. But if you realize there's stones on the inside, what do I got to do? If I had a mentor, I had somebody close, they could help me pull out that boulder of tradition, because the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. They could help me, when I'm talking about something and kind of snarling and my eyebrows go wee-wall and I'm talking about them and my nose gets whatever, they can say, I think you're offended at them. Let's forgive them. I don't want to forgive them. You have to forgive them. All right, I'll forgive them. Let's go forgive them together. We'll go forgive them. And you'll go and they'll do it. And what happens? A boulder comes out of you. When that boulder is removed, what comes in? Soil. Your heart being ready, plowing up the fallow ground. And so the more soil you have in, the more you're doing it God's way, and helping one another. Help somebody. Everybody needs four crazy friends. Four crazy friends that can tell you the truth. You don't need a friend that always just tells you you're the most special, awesome thing. You need somebody real. People sometimes want to get close to me and Pastor Rhonda. You don't probably really want to do that. We're very real with one another, because there's not too much time to mess around. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know what? I'd love to personally mentor everybody that goes to our church, but I can't. Brother Hagin mentored me, and I never met him. How do you mentor me? I listen and re-listen and still listen. I read, reread, and still read. I watched his every move, and never really shook his hand except to get my diploma and go to meetings. And the only thing he ever really did to me was pop me on the back of the head. And I asked the Raymond Singers band, why does he always pop me upside the head? They said, because he likes you. But I never met him. I never had a personal conversation with him. Yet he mentored me. So mentoring doesn't always have to be one-on-one. Are you with me? I know we stayed a little bit longer today, but you got wet to come here, so you really wanted to be here. So you're going to get all of it. It's the center of you. It's the heart. It's the soil. If there's any boulders in you, ask the Lord. If there's any stones in me that keep me from having my heart full of soil, if there's anything in me that keeps the moisture out, if I don't have a good root system on the inside, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And he'll focus in on something and he'll help you get it out. So yes, it's your soil, but God will help you clear it out. Every soil has to be cleared. And when you do it, it'll produce great dividends. Amen.